This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Seconds to go. Game's on the line here. 31-28 Georgia. Dobbs out of the shotgun. Back to throw. Dobbs drops back. Looks. Loads up. Fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught by Tennessee.
Tennessee wins!
Caught it by Tennessee. Jawan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch in the end zone on the Hail Mary. And Tennessee wins.
Inside the stadium as we are back live on Rocky Top. Dusk approaching on a huge football weekend, or should be, number one team in the country, heading into Neyland Stadium tomorrow. Chris Lowe, a good friend of ours, one of the preeminent reporters in the country. And Chris, there's so much to talk about, but I was just sitting here reminiscing with John Adams about, and I'm embarrassed because I'm now doing what all the guys used to do when we came into it, but it is just remarkable how rich the stories were back then, and I mean you caught the last whiff of that, did you not?
I did, and I'm fortunate. I'm grateful that when I got in, you still had a chance to get to know guys. You really don't. Today's different. You know, I feel sorry for people that are breaking into the business. It's hard to get to know a Nick Saban or a Josh Heupel, a Kirby Smart, because the way things are set up now, you just don't get time with them alone.
But what I've always found interesting about you, and Saban is I mean, he's old school. You've known him in a way that I don't think more than a handful of other writers have ever been able to. How did all this come about?
I'm old. I go back to when he was at LSU, so that's part of the reason. But you know, Nick's, I've been great. I've been blessed that I've been able to be around him enough and get to know him over the years. I got to know him pretty well when he went to Alabama. Cecil Hurt, the late Cecil Hurt, was somebody else that knew Nick very well.
Oh yeah,
Nick trusted him. He talked to him a lot. Being there in Tuscaloosa, Cecil had the pulse of that program. And you know, I think part of it is I don't cover him every day. I tell him, he always says, you know, you need to tell all these other guys in the media that I'm not as bad as they say I am. I say, well, I don't have to cover you every day. That's the biggest thing. It's been fun getting to know people like Nick, and Steve Spurrier was another one. You know, when we'd have the SEC media days at the old Sheraton down in Birmingham, he'd stay at the bottom of that amphitheater and he'd finish his spiel, and then we'd all go around and talk to him, around and talk to him. Those days are over.
Were you there the year, maybe the first or second year that he was at Florida? Think about this. There was a golf tournament. They went out to a golf course in Birmingham. Steve Spurrier played golf with the media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I promise you, if you played with him, you putted every single putt out.
Oh, no.
I don't care if it was a foot.
We do not have time to talk about my
experiences. And you didn't dare touch your golf ball in the fairway.
I probably played with Steve four or five times. They are the four or five worst golf experiences of my life.
And he knew your score better than you knew it.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be his partner because the first time we played together, okay, I'll tell the story. We're on the final hole, famous golf course. And these were two Florida guys were playing with us. And I am a terrible golfer, but I elevated the game. So he looked at me and said, you know, even match. Got a bear down. I go, I don't want to hear that. I mean, I do not want to hear that. So he said, just go. I mean, he hadn't said a word to me all day about my game because it was okay. He said, just get up there and just block everything else out. And what did I do? I like literally knocked a tree over on the left side of the fairway, and he just stared at me. And he got up there, I kid you not, he's a scratch golfer. He hit the identical shot and wouldn't talk to me the rest of the round.
Yeah, you better be glad he hit that shot, because he never would let you forget.
Well, fortunately, he made a recovery, and I think we won the hole, which I really didn't care, by the way, one way or the other, which he didn't like me because I was not out for blood on a friendly golf round.
You know, if you want some good Steve Spurrier golf stories, you need to talk to Professor Gene Wojciechowski, because Professor Wojciechowski's had some epic golf rounds.
Yeah. I've already heard from the professor.
By the way,
today,
they bring back all the big guns when Tennessee comes here. You, Professor Gene Wojciechowski, I saw Ryan McGee, and oh yeah, Dolly Parton's here too.
So what's Dolly doing here?
She's going to sing Rocky Top.
Oh, she is. Okay,
I didn't. Here, you know, if we could go back and you could wish anything, the late Larry Munson, you hated Rocky Top. Every time he heard that song, he'd say, "There's that terrible, awful song again." I'd love to hear him in the press box Saturday when Dolly comes out to sing Rocky Top. Maybe he would actually like that version.
Well, this would be before the game, after halftime, or
I think sometime during the first half.
Okay, I'll stick around.
Maybe we could have.
I don't know Dolly. I'm sure you do.
No, I don't. I don't know her, but I know of her, obviously. But so, I'd love to hear.
So back to Saban. I'm doing a terrible job today of keeping people on message. I do not want you to reveal, but confidences and all that. But I've been with you enough times. You've gotten a chance to see him like very few others. I mean, what is he like when you pull the curtain up?
Oh, he's got a very good wit about him. He likes to, believe it or not, he doesn't mind when you poke at him.
Really?
A little bit. It's got to be the right time. You better not do it, you know, on Thursday before the LSU game.
I could clap back at that, but I'm not going to.
But he does like that if it's the right time. But he's,
that might be it.
He
likes the needle.
Yeah, he does, and he doesn't mind it if the time's right. If you needle him back, very very close, obviously with his wife Terry, and he jokes that Terry's the only one that, you know, he says he stays at work. The reason he works 14 hours is because when he's at the office, that's the only time he can be the boss. Because when he goes home, she's the boss. So they have a great relationship. When they were off, they went down to their place at Lake Burton, and they had a big Halloween party. All of his friends there that they met. And some of the elaborate costumes were, and I saw some pictures, were unbelievable.
Really?
And so there's another side of him that he doesn't just show. People say he's mellowed a little bit. He smiles more this year. I don't know about that. I think he likes this team. He likes the way they have sort of stayed the course. I don't think he ever sort of is one of those coaches that goes into a season with different expectations. But let's be honest, Paul, when they lost Alabama, they were not a very good football team. And then the next week they were awful against South Florida. And now here they are getting ready to play in a couple of weeks Georgia. If they can win the next two games for what is essentially a play-in, I think, to get into the playoff. And I don't think anybody would have thought that. They had so many things that they needed to work out. He likes the way this team has worked. He said something to me when I was with him this week that I have not heard him say before. He says, you know, it's nice to go into a locker room after a win and see smiles on kids' faces and not relief. And I think that's sort of been what it's been like at Alabama over the last few years is, you know, there was not a lot of joy in winning because everybody expected them to win. There was more relief. Right. I think he sees the other side of that with this football team.
That's really interesting. One of these days, I hope you'll, now that Jimbo Fisher has moved on, that you'll give us some insight into the night that Jimbo went after Saban. I had the fortune of talking to you the next morning, and I'm not going to say anything that you don't want to say. But you got a good chance to watch that story in real time, didn't you?
I knew what was coming. I talked briefly the night before to Jimbo. I knew he was ready to open up the cannons the next day. So I knew I knew what was coming.
And that's what I find so remarkable about you, because I mean, I'm prodding now because I'm not pushing, but I'm prodding. But you have such a prism into these coaches, and I'm assuming, bad word to use for journalism, but that it helps you frame a lot of what you do.
It helps. I mean, it's relationships, Paul, in life are everything. I don't care if you're in this business or anything else. And you know, some guys out there have better relationships than I do with others. And, again, it helps that when you get to know guys early on in something you're doing, coaches are creatures of habit, man. They want to deal with people they've dealt with
right.
for a long time. When they're assistants, you know, I knew Jimbo when he was an assistant. Not, you know, Nick when he was at LSU, Spurrier going all the way back to when he first got to Florida. It always helps that when you get to know these guys early on, and I think that's been a big part of it.
I'm trying to remember a couple of years ago, game day was going to Alabama, and I don't remember who the other reporter was. But in the past, Tom Rinaldi had always done the Saban interview, and he walked out. He said, and whoever it was walked in. He said, "Where's Rinaldi?" He did not want to talk to that guy. Whoever I do not know the name, but that's Nick.
Yeah, and Tom had has a great relationship with Nick. You know, and again, I think it goes back to dealing with the same people and having that trust. Most people like Nick Saban, who've had the success he's had, and everybody's tugging and pulling at him, have a pretty tight circle, coaches, players.
One day, I want you to come on this air on the air and just show us your text chain, and then we'll know. Because I know how much they respect you. Chris Lowe, always great to see you here.
Good to be here, Paul.
In Knoxville.
Great to be here, man.
We'll be right back. Laura Rutledge joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we go around the table, brought to you by Honey Baked Ham. Late Friday afternoon, Laura Rutledge has arrived.
Hey, Paul.
What's up?
How are you?
I hate to make this about us every week, but I'm going to. So I'm
sitting
on the plane today because I knew you were going to be, I think you're sitting like right next to me, and I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And some guy sat next to me, and I looked at him, and he looked at me like, I said, obviously you're not Laura Rutledge.
I mean, I'm sure we resembled each other, but so usually on Friday mornings, I take the really early flight out of Connecticut.
Right.
So I was on a 5:30 a.m. flight.
5:30 a.m.
Yeah, fun times. But we got there, and they said, well, the wrong plane is at the gate.
Ooh.
Which I don't know how that happens, but that's what happened. So then they said, well, don't
worry. You're in Hartford, Connecticut. A lot of crazy things can happen.
I know. So they said, don't worry. The right plane is just over there. They didn't say over yonder, but that's what we'd say in the South. Just over there yonder. But they said, we can't move the right plane into the spot because the fog was too dense.
Oh.
So then we were waiting for the fog to lift, and that took 2 hours.
So you missed it.
And then I missed my opportunity to sit next to you on the plane, which I was really very sad. I was torn up about this.
I know you were.
That's really what I look forward to on Fridays, is traveling with Paul.
How many of you believe that?
No, it's true. What do you mean? Why would you doubt me? Anyway,
I was talking to the audience. I was talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
So you made it. So did you drive? Did you catch a cab? You call Uber from Hartford, Connecticut?
Well, that was no. So I made it as far as Charlotte. So then, then I was gonna.
This is the part of the story I want everyone to hear.
You're so bad. Then I was gonna get in a car and I was gonna just take a road trip here, 4 hours or so.
Is that how?
I think.
Four hours.
But so the next flight was gonna be at 10 p.m. So I thought I gotta just get on the road here. This isn't gonna work. And then, Tim Tebow to the rescue. Tim saved the day. He landed in Charlotte and picked me up and took me here. It was so nice. And I'm not only am I so thankful to him, but I'm also really thankful to our leadership here at the SEC Network to help me out.
Well, Laura.
And Paul, you know what I just
realized? I mean, it's not like Tim drove to pick you up. I mean, he's sitting there.
Still, he didn't have to land.
Sipping whatever that crazy drink he
Zevia's. Hey, you know what I just realized, though?
No.
You were in Charlotte at the same time, and we just left you there.
Yeah, I think I'd, fortunately, had gotten out just a handful of moments before.
Yeah, you had definitely left before that.
But I'm glad. Because, Laura, I'm a man of the people. I mean, I sit in the back of the plane.
Amongst your friends.
And, hope that they bring me one of those stale biscottis.
Hey, I saw something. I thought about you because you do love those little biscottis. I thought about you because they're making a biscotti that has a cream filling.
Oh, what was that thing that we used to eat a couple years ago?
Those Belvedas.
No, not that.
Those waffles. I love those.
I used to bring those to you.
He would always bring me these from the airplane because that was too much sugar for him, but I like that.
But the good news was the hotel we're staying at, I actually could find my way around today, unlike last week. I've had so many people call and say, did that really happen with you and Laura?
Oh, it happened. I'm still looking for my room in Lexington.
I never checked in mine. I stayed at Calumet Farms with the secretariat's great-granddaughter.
What? I don't even know what you just said. That was amazing. Do you like horses, Paul?
I covered thoroughbred racing early in my
career.
Of course, when you've had a career, Laura, as long as mine, you've pretty much done everything.
Yeah, I mean, what haven't you done? Obviously, you earned your chops here at Tennessee, which we love those.
Had so much fun today. The Daily Beacon, the school paper, was having their Thanksgiving lunch.
Oh.
Although they're not allowed to call it that for some reason.
Holiday lunch.
Pre-holiday lunch. So I went by and we hung out and I told some old stories about the good old days.
That's so nice, Paul. Yeah. I don't think people realize how kind you are and how generous you are with your time. That's so cool. What, you want to share a story that you told them?
No.
Oh. Did you eat any turkey?
I did not.
I've been seeing.
Well, no, I mean, I basically just told some stories from back in the day when that have been retold before.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if it's not new, I don't really care. But okay, so I've been seeing this thing going around about pies at Thanksgiving, and I want to get your take. Pecan pie, apple pie, pumpkin pie, and I forget the other pie. What other pie would there be at Thanksgiving? I don't know. So between those three,
I once, in the span of 2 hours, about 35 or 40, about 40 years ago, had a pumpkin pie at one Thanksgiving meal and a pecan pie at another.
Like the whole pie?
Well, just a...
Oh, a piece.
I overbooked that day.
Were these different women's Thanksgivings?
Could have been.
Paul, wait a second.
It was Thanksgiving. I mean, I had a lot of friends back then.
Okay, if you're going to Thanksgiving, though, that's with people's families. That's serious.
Well,
you're not just rolling up on
one of them was a small event. It was a lady that I was friends with who had a daughter.
Okay.
So I went.
Was it your daughter?
No, I don't think it was, but no. It was not, okay?
Yeah, we need to do one of these.
I told you never to bring that up here.
I just fell into it. All right, if it's you, girlfriend.
No, I can assure you it was not my daughter. And then I had to kind of, it was early, it was like 11:45.
Oh, that's early.
I mean, you want to eat things? So I just kind of nibbled, but the pie came and I said, okay. And then I went, the other person had a family.
Oh,
so it took a little longer.
Serious. And you couldn't be like, oh, I've already been to this other Thanksgiving, so you had to just eat everything again, right?
You wonder why now I don't eat.
It all happened
there. I still have that feeling in my stomach of just two of everything.
Ugh. Wow. If anyone else
You've
has
never
ever
done anything
been,
like that
No,
before?
I've never been in that kind of pickle. That's a serious pickle.
Yeah.
That's a serious
I have a hard time
in,
that you've never...
Paul, going to two Thanksgivings with
strung
two
guys along
people.
on a holiday
well,
on a holiday
the,
meal.
Never to the extent of a holiday meal.
Never to I the mean, extent.
That's serious business. So wait, which pie did you like better? The pecan or pecan, as some of our friends may say, or the pumpkin?
Pecan pie to me, is pecan a southern?
I think a pecan is southern, yeah.
Yeah, you don't say that in Connecticut.
I say pecan.
Yeah, pecan. I don't. It's too yucky.
It's too gooey for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I like.
I love pecan pie.
Pumpkin pie.
So one of the
don't make me any because I haven't. I don't eat it anymore.
We're all gonna show up with pies. Let's go. All right, really fast. So one of my favorite stories about pecan pie. My grandfather D, who passed away a while ago, he prided himself in being a really good cook. And so one holiday, he had made a pecan pie, but he left it in the oven too long, and the thing was hard as a brick.
Right.
But he was so excited about it, and we never told him this. So if he's watching from above, he'll know this. But we went to Publix and bought a pecan pie and replaced it with the one that he had cooked and threw the one he cooked out because he was so excited about it that we didn't want him to feel bad about his pie.
So what?
So he had a store-bought pie, and he was telling everybody, look how good this pie is that I made. And it was good.
I don't feel like you ever answered my question. You seem to be leaning in on, like, maybe there were two holiday.
No, I would never do that. I haven't had enough time in my life for
that. I've known you a long time. That was a rather high-pitched denial. Agree?
Now I'm getting the third degree on the vocal tone. This is too much. I am no longer doing these appearances with you.
Weren't we supposed to promote something?
We were. What was it? Oh, look at you. Oh, Paul's going to. Okay, this is really cool. There's six of these billboards around town, by the way. Did you know that? You're famous around here. Who are you going to pick? Don't tell.
Oh. I'm heavily leaning toward Tennessee.
Really? I believe you. Will you do that same pose?
Well, I mean, you have to sell. I mean, when in Rome.
Yeah.
And we had that great event last year here.
That's right.
I feel like
and
we
then,
need
to. And then earlier this year, you put on that whole.
Oh yeah.
Get up.
So why would I? Why would I go against my alma mater now?
He better not, right? I don't know.
even if I haven't met one Tennessee fan who believes they're going to win tomorrow.
Maybe you're the one.
So we'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. Well, either way, we got billboards for Paul. Because
are you ever? So you're never coming back?
I'll be back next week.
Okay. Let's hear it.
All of the people at home.
I mean,
are like,
I don't know
oh.
if I've ever ended a conversation with you saying, "Thanks, Laura Rutledge, and Mike Griffith is next."
Oh, Paul. You're a national treasure, Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back as we are live in Knoxville, getting dark here on a Friday afternoon as the game slowly comes into focus. And who better to bring it into focus than Mike Griffith making an appearance on the road? We missed you yesterday, but we're glad to have you here today.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. A big weekend in Knoxville for the Bulldogs and the Tennessee Vols.
You used to cover this team.
I did for a long time. This university's come a long way. They got great leadership right now. They're coming full circle. I mean, you're seeing what White's doing as an AD. You see the coaches they have in place. You see the facilities, Paul. Every time we come up here, it keeps growing up to the sky. A lot of bricks, a lot of newness, a lot of positivity. They just got to get that football program over the hump in the, I was going to say the East, but this is it, right? This is it for the East.
Mike, I haven't really run into many people that are confident that this game could be interesting. Blowouts are being predicted, but I don't know why. I just have a feeling that you are going to have a different perspective.
Well, because Georgia keeps giving teams opportunities, Paul. They've trailed in 6 out of 7 SEC games. They've given up opening drive scores in 4 games. And if you give up an opening drive score in Neyland Stadium and you trail Tennessee, you're going to hear 102,000, and it's going to give Georgia an opportunity to respond on the road. But if you think about their road games, do we really call Vanderbilt a road game? I think there was about 80% of the fans there that were wearing red at Vanderbilt, right?
But
Florida's not a road game.
It's getting a lot better.
you fight that battle. The only true
good alignment there.
The only true road game Georgia's plays has been at Auburn. And if you remember, that game went into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Now, Georgia's gotten much, much better, but I just feel like from a matchup standpoint, I think Tennessee can do some things that I know Kirby is concerned about. I heard him all week. I heard what he said. He said it was like pulling teeth to get his team to hit on Tuesday at their practice. I mean, he doesn't just talk to talk. And you look, they've just played back-to-back top 20 teams against Missouri, against Ole Miss. The week before, they played Florida, an emotional game.
Big rivalry.
This is 27 wins in a row. I mean, there's a reason why only 2 SEC programs in history have won 28 games in a row, and that was Paul Bear Bryant and Gene Stallings from 91 to 93 before the playoff era.
I don't know. I'm sure there are many others, but I personally witnessed the end of both of those streaks.
Yeah, and it was tough, right? So what Kirby's done is historic, and he deserves a ton of credit. I think Georgia's going to win, to be clear. But this is not going to be an easy game at all. And Tennessee does have that puncher's chance because I think Josh Heupel's a great coach, and I think their players want to prove something to the fans after a really difficult loss against Missouri. They want to show you that they've had a lot of character. They played hard this year. We knew this would be a rebuilding year. And I think Josh Heupel has done a really good job. I think he's the guy here. I think he's going to be here a long time.
Talking to Mike Griffith, Mike, I'm always just so interested in your perspective, not only in Georgia, because you cover the SEC. I've seen you a lot of places this year. You were Tuscaloosa. You've been up here. I think you get around. What else is getting your attention this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what got everybody's attention was when Jimbo Fisher got bought out. And you know where they heard those echoes. All the way down in Gainesville when they used to tell us that $33 million was too much of a buyout. Now all of a sudden they're saying, well, wait a minute. If A&M can afford $75 or $76 million, can Florida afford the buyout for Billy Napier? Say, well, no, wait a minute. Paul sat down with Scott Strickland last summer down there. We've mentioned this a few times. And the athletic director.
I like hearing it, though. It's like your favorite song.
And the athletic, Scott Strickland, told him that Billy Napier was fine. Well, that was before the recruiting class started to fragment a little bit and before Florida was staring down the barrel of possibly missing a bowl game. If they don't win one of these next 2 games at Missouri against Florida State, there's no bowl game for Florida. And I'll predict that if they don't make a bowl, I do think Billy Napier will be fired.
Of those 2 games, Missouri's missing a couple of key players tomorrow.
Yeah.
That they can. They've got some players there, though.
Yeah, but I got a question. Okay. This is my problem. Like, I've gone complete 360 on Eli Drinkwitz, right? I was a little critical of him at the start when you were championing him for SEC Coach of the Year, and then I said, you know what? I looked closer and I said, this is a dangerous team, and they went down there and they played Georgia toe to toe, and I said, oh man, this team's impressive, and then they beat Tennessee, but then you know what he did? He went and he made some like snotty trash talk comment to Josh Heupel like he'd never won a big game.
And I don't
before.
Understand
why you do that.
I'm glad you brought that up because I don't know. I'm not going to speak for Eli Drinkwitz. There's no excuse for that.
Well, and here's the thing. That's the wrong guy to talk to.
Yeah.
This guy's going to score 60 points on him again. And Heupel, like, do people forget? Josh Heupel was a championship All-American quarterback at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What do you think he thinks of Eli Drinkwitz? Like, really, dude? Like, that's the first time. Like, you really think that's going to affect Josh Heupel that Eli Drinkwitz says, we stand on our business, and runs away? Like, Heupel's going, what? Is this Halloween? Like, what was that all about? Like, little guy.
I'm glad to see your heel turn on him. I didn't like when you were, you know.
Well, because I was like all in on Missouri. I'm like, you know what, Drink, man, this guy's good. He is cool. Maybe he's not. And I'm like, act like you've been there before, right? And you know, and I asked Heupel about it this week. He's like, I didn't even hear it. Whatever. He's moved on. You know, and that's Heupel. He's gonna move. But you better believe that he's gonna put about 60 on Drink every opportunity that he gets. That was just a bad move to trash talk a Josh Heupel Tennessee team. Just didn't make any sense, Paul. Didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't. It's the first time that's come up this week because I've seen it on social media, but I just never really
didn't get it.
I knew you would get it.
I didn't understand it, right? But it sets the stage for this week, right? Because coming up here on Monday, you know, it was dark and all the hangover and everybody's so disappointed. I said, look, you're playing number one this week, and I know how Kirby's been. Kirby is so dialed in on this game. Remember this. Kirby Smart, Mike Bobo, Will Muschamp, all played at Georgia in the 1990s. Fulmer owned Georgia in the 90s. These guys never beat Tennessee. Kirby's got a chip, and make no mistake about it. He does not like orange. I mean, you know, professionally, he respects Josh and respects the University of Tennessee. But this is a rivalry that Kirby Smart gets up for because he never beat the Vols as a player.
Yeah. So you were talking about you did a U-turn to Gainesville. So other than that, by the way, on that, so they have, just for the people that don't know, Missouri tomorrow, Florida State next week.
Right. That's tough. You got to win one of those games or you don't go to a bowl game. And that's not supposed to happen in year two at Florida, right? And I think Billy Napier, he's a really nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
You really like him as a person.
Really, I do.
Remember that, like, in high school?
I
don't want to date her, but I like her as a person.
Well, you know, you said it, not me. He's a good guy, but I just don't know that he has the charisma or the fire that it takes to lead an SEC program like Florida. And right now, he's going to be tested on the recruiting trail.
But the problem, though,
he's got to keep this class together, Paul.
There's some momentum there, and you hit the restart button, and I think we're watching in real time at A&M. It's not easy hiring a coach.
Wow.
There's a lot of speculation that they are not landing some of the guys they thought they were going to get.
Well, I was going to say, do you really make a fire before you know who you're going to hire?
I don't think you should.
See, I would have thought, like, okay, well, this means it's Mike Elko at Duke. But is a Duke – I mean, I know he's been there before as a DC, so he knows.
I doubt he was probably in their top three.
I got a phone call right before the show.
Okay.
Let me give you a name. You ready? Dabo Swinney.
Dabo Swinney to A&M.
What if – now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if Dabo's interested in them, what if – would A&M be interested in Dabo? I mean, I don't know that.
I would be interested in Dabo. I think he's a very novel idea.
See, because I think the ship has sailed for Dabo at Alabama. Because I think Alabama already knows who they're going to hire next.
I can speak for Alabama.
Okay.
He's not going there.
You know who I think is going to go there?
Who?
Dan Lanning. Which is why I think Dan said, hard pass on A&M.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay at Oregon. I like it here. Yeah, you like it there until T-Town calls. Because Lanning can win national championships in Tuscaloosa. And that is the guy, to me, the next
is that happening?
Coach.
Did I miss Saban's retirement?
No, you didn't. I'm just saying, I think Lanning
is the
next. Did
anybody see that on ESPN? I mean, I've been doing this show, so I haven't been
watching. Let me see. Did he buy another Mercedes dealership while we've been on? No, he didn't
Ferrari,
buy another
Ferrari,
dealer.
Ferrari, come on.
Was it Ferrari?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're stepping it up in that NIL game.
He owns two Ferraris.
I didn't. Well, that's right. I think he doesn't drive it on rainy days. Wasn't that the peculiar note on him? Got to know your savings.
I don't drive my Ferrari on sunny days or rainy days. Or any day ending in Y.
Dan Lanning, though. Remember that. Dan is going to be back in the SEC.
Can't wait.
It's just a matter of time.
Can't wait.
Got to think he's waiting on the Alabama job.
That's Mike Griffith.
There you go.
The Adam Schefter of the Feinbaum Show. We will take a break. Yeah. Another Knoxville legend joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Months ago when he stepped down, he had a legendary newspaper career here, and then a equally legendary radio career, and you retired, and I just asked you what you've been up to, and you said you just came from the radio show.
Yeah.
What happened to retirement?
I have failed at retirement miserably, but I'm doing several shows, mostly on the weekend, and covering Tennessee football, but Monday through Friday, I'm trying to enjoy golf, tennis, pickleball, other things that I like doing.
Now, I was listening to you talk about that, and I admire that because I think deep down, and a lot of people can relate to this no matter what you do, you're part of this community, you're part of the University of Tennessee football program. If you weren't working, you'd still be paying attention.
Exactly. And I felt like, well, if I'm going to pay attention, I might as well get paid a little bit to pay attention. So, yeah, and it's been fun. I'm not doing any shows that I don't enjoy doing or want to do.
Well, I've said it when we came on, but the impact that you had, you had a tremendous impact in the newspaper business, but has that changed? I would dare say that I can relate to this, you became better known in a way for radio.
I did, and somebody years ago complimented me for getting out of newspaper going to radio. I said, I didn't see that coming. I appreciated it, but I didn't see that coming. But I thoroughly enjoyed the 25 years of doing radio full-time. It was a great run.
You employed a lot of the same. I mean, you still broke stories. You still were the go-to guy in this community. People, my friend Larry Silverstein here, he would tell me every day, Jimmy Himes, I'm like going, well, I mean, I like, okay, I mean, I get it. It was every big story was coming from you.
Well, I treated radio like I did when I was at the newspaper. That's the way I approached it from a journalistic standpoint. And we did try to get out there and break stories. We did go to press conferences. We did go to practices. And then I'd get on the air and report what I saw.
Let's talk about where this program is right now, because we didn't pick the best weekend to come into to sell the University of Tennessee. But it feels like the foundation is still here.
I think the foundation is still here. That's hard for some fans to appreciate, considering the way Missouri stomped Tennessee. But I think every year most teams will have a couple of games where they play poorly and they just don't show up. And I think that was one for Tennessee. Last year was South Carolina. Early this year, Tennessee didn't play well against Florida. So maybe they've gotten their bad games out of the way. But, Paul, I didn't expect Tennessee to match last year's 11-win season. I thought they lost too much on offense. There were five key players on offense led by Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman, and Jalen Hyatt. And so I thought they would take a step back in that regard, and they have. They have a good team, but they don't have an exceptional team. They're not an 11-win caliber team. They're still pretty entertaining, with the exception of a couple of weekends, but I'll be really curious to see how or if they can bounce back against Georgia.
Yeah, we've both been around long enough to know that this was, along with Alabama in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, one of the two preeminent programs in the SEC. It had its moments. It's had the famous players. But it took such a nosedive that a lot of people have wondered, what is this program right now? Had the big year last year. Mm-hmm. This year it's back a little bit. How would you describe where this program is?
I think it's a program that is still trying to reach the upper echelon of the SEC. So last year you win 11 games. So how are you going to follow that up? Well, you're not quite as good. But one of the key things, Josh Heupel has recruited really well. He's brought in some good players. But one of the things you have to do with his offense, you got to find a quarterback that's a perfect fit. Hendon Hooker, in my opinion, was a perfect fit for his offense. Joe Milton's not. Milton's a nice quarterback, but he does not possess all the qualities, in my opinion, for this offense to work at an optimum level. Therefore, they've backed off a little bit in their production on offense. But they're still averaging about 34 points a game, which is good. But when you average 46, it's like, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not as good offensively, but they got a guy in the wings that I think could be special, Paul. And so I think offensively you might see Tennessee back to scoring in the 40s.
So, I mean, it feels like – I mean, last year it felt like – and it was number one in the country, one of the elite teams in the country. This year it just feels like a good program. Is this place capable, with everything that I see everywhere I walk, of returning to that elite level?
That's going to be hard. I think it's capable because I do think Josh Heupel's the right guy for this job, and I think he has the ability to score a lot of points against most teams when he's got the right quarterback. Defensively, they've done a good job of signing some good defensive players. Yeah. And you have to have some studs on defense when you have an offense that runs at this tempo and puts your defense in harm's way. So I think they've done a really good job recruiting on defense. So I think they're getting better there. The Missouri game notwithstanding, this has been a better defense this year. And so, yeah, I think he can get – now, defining elite, can he get to the Alabama-Georgia level? How many programs do that?
There might be one other one in the country.
Yeah. So
not you, Michigan.
Yeah. I'd say not to that level. Can they be a team that consistently knocks on the door being a top 10 team? Yes.
Okay.
I think they can do that.
And that's really – I mean, that's what Tennessee football has been for a very long time. And I say this to young people. I mean, this traditionally has been one of the great programs in college football history. And it's a pleasure to see Jimmy Hyams here. Thank you, Jimmy. So great to welcome you back to our program.
Paul,
now that you're retired, we can at least get you occasionally.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you having me.
Or almost retired. We'll be right back. One more hour to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.